a special meaning for us since you've been watching television and the weather forecast. You've seen some rather fierce storms, tornadoes and storms and wall clouds and things of that nature, and that sort of describes our life sometimes. But we're so thankful that we have the home of unclouded skies in that day. I appreciate so very much the opportunity of being here with you, and tonight I'd like to talk about the all-sufficiency of the Bible. And I hear you say, well, I know that. I've heard that before. But sometimes we really don't appreciate exactly what I'm talking about. We do rely upon the Bible. We rely upon the Bible as the complete Word of God. And to recognize that we're complete in Christ Jesus. I believe that that is the theme of the Colossian letter, where it talks about the preeminence of Christ and the fact that we have to be careful and not let the philosophies of men make merchandise of us. So we want to emphasize tonight how much we depend upon the Bible. I know some of the young people here maybe don't have full knowledge of all this as we study tonight. So I'd like to encourage you to think about the Bible and what it is to us as children of God and recognize what we mean when we talk about the all-sufficiency of the Bible. I want to look at a number of scriptures. The word sufficient means as much as is needed of or required, it is enough. In the field of religion, when you have so many different voices and so many different authorities, to recognize that we have the Bible and the Bible alone. I've said before, it's an honor to me to be able to stand up here and to have you recognize I owe allegiance to no creed of men.
Amen.
I have no allegiance to a college to tell me what to preach, to headquarters to tell me what I'm supposed to believe or practice. We're free in Christ Jesus. In the lesson this morning, we talked about the arising of the hierarchy in the early church and how they made a departure into the final papal system over the hundreds of years when people were going astray. The Bible is all that we need. In the Bible, we have enough, so that we need nothing in addition to it at all. You can understand God's will. You can be a better Christian. It'll make your life better as you enrich yourselves with the pages of the Bible. It'll help you draw closer to God. We emphasize this morning, we don't go through a hierarchical system. We go to God directly as we did in prayer tonight through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We don't have men standing between us and God. And to really get the most out of life, like the Song of Solomon says, the book of Ecclesiastes, we come to understand the whole of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. What else is there that we might think of? The Bible is able to guide me from earth to heaven. It is something that God gave as a gift to us, and no one can take that away from us. And so the Bible says of itself that it is sufficient in every sense. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. I urge you to take down these scriptures or follow along in the Bible to be sure that I'm reading correctly, and notice what the Bible says about itself. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. I don't need to go to the Book of Mormon. I don't need to go to the Masonic Lodge. I don't need to go to anything else that's going to tell me how to be a better Christian. When you look at this, you say, the inspiration of God, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that came from God breathed out the Scriptures, and we have those Scriptures today. Another passage, 2 Peter 1:3, notice what it's saying. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. And so you recognize then that there's not anything that you have as a spiritual gift that's not given to you by Jesus Christ and the Lord. All spiritual gifts. You can't name anything that I don't have access to that you don't have a part in, because God has given you all spiritual gifts. What a blessing that is. And again, we accept that because we're Bible believers. That's what we believe. But I want to show you in a moment, not everybody believes that. Not everybody accepts these truths. Again, in John 20, 30 and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in his name. That's a gift to me, and that's a gift to you.
Amen.
Believing in Jesus Christ. I don't know what else Jesus did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He made the dumb to speak, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. He cast out demons. All these things he did, we know that he did this. And when he came in the course of his life to Chorazin, woe to you, Chorazin. When one of our trips, we were able to go to the very city of Chorazin, the ruins. It's just a pile of rocks now. But there was an old synagogue there. And Jesus said to them at Chorazin, woe to you, Chorazin, because if the many mighty works that were done in you were done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. We stood in a place where Jesus did many of his mighty works. We don't know what all they were, but he did these mighty works, and I believe those. But what all he did is not recorded. But these are recorded that we might believe. So in our case, we believe. Those miracles did the work. We believe, and we have life in his name. Jude said, as he wrote, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, you've heard this before, I'm sure. Maybe the young people have not. When you owe a bill and you pay that bill in full, they can stamp on the invoice, "paid in full." That's what this means.
Amen.
That is, no other scripture will ever be given. The Book of Mormon says it's another gospel. No, it's not. It's a fraud. There will never be another gospel. The Book of Acts will not have another chapter. The Book of Revelation will never have another word added to it. All the scripture that God wants us to have is contained in the Old and New Testaments. So when you pick up the Bible, you have the complete truth that God wants you to know. That's why the Colossians were told not to let anybody make merchandise of them by philosophy. Philosophy will not help you get to heaven. Only the Bible will do that. You see, these passages are from scriptures, and they all agree that the Bible is complete. Then in Revelation 22, lest there be any misunderstanding, John says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." My, that's terrible. Have you read the plagues in the book of Revelation? "Then if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things that are written in this book." Don't touch the scriptures. Leave them alone. They're perfect the way they are. If there's a true translation of the Bible, that's what we need, and that's all that we need. Now then, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul adds to our list of scriptures, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other." Now back in chapter 1, he talked about how some of them were going by names of the Peter or Paul or others, and it was wrong for them to do that. He adds it here again, don't think beyond what you're supposed to be thinking of. And then in Romans 1 and 16, this passage that's so full of truth, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek," or the Gentiles. Now these things have all been written that we may have one firm truth, and that is that the Bible is sufficient for everything I need to go to heaven. If you want to know how to go to heaven, read your Bible.
Amen.
If you have a question about God, read your Bible. If you have a question about the church, read your Bible. If you have a question about what you ought to do about some subject, read your Bible, because the Bible gives the answer for all these things. Isaiah 55, even from the Old Testament, said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is powerful. As Romans 1:16, it's the power of God, the dynamite of God for salvation to those who will listen to it. Now you think, well, why didn't, that's so plain. Doesn't everybody believe that? Everybody here believes that. Doesn't everybody believe that? Nope. The Jews deny that Jesus is the Son of God. And they deny the inspiration of the New Testament. I met a Jew one time. Brother Ralph Smart lived up in Maine. And I took 10 days to go up and knock doors with Brother Smart and try to set up Bible studies. And I met a Jew. So I was eager to talk to him and ask him about the Bible and what he thought about the Old and New Testament. Said there's no such thing as the Old and New Testament. Just the Hebrew Scriptures. I don't believe the New Testament at all. Well, it's really hard to talk about Jesus if he rejects the Bible. They deny the inspiration of the New Testament. The same Holy Spirit that wrote the Old Testament wrote the New Testament. And they haven't been able to understand that. And then the Catholics, they insist on more than the Scriptures. And this is just acknowledging what they teach, what they believe. It's called the three-legged stool because there are three authorities rather than the Bible. They have the decrees of the Pope and the Church. When the Pope speaks from ex cathedra or the chair of Peter, that's binding upon all Catholics. And then their traditions. They go back in their written traditions, and those traditions are as binding as the Scriptures, and then, of course, they say they believe the Bible as well. So they have three things that they look to, not just the one. Not just the one. We believe in just the one. Now, the Catholics say this. This is from Cardinal Gibbons, who wrote a book called Faith of Our Fathers. Very popular a few years ago. Now, the Scriptures alone do not contain all the truths which a Christian is bound to believe, nor do they explicitly enjoin all the duties which he is obliged to practice. Total rejection of what I've just said. All the Scriptures that I've just read mean nothing to this man. Now, he's dead and gone, but his book remains. And this explains why the Catholics, if you have studied with Catholic, and you say, but the Bible says, they'll say, yes, but the Pope says. Yes, but the Church says. And they will not recognize the Bible as the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Again, in the same book, he said, we must therefore conclude that the Scriptures alone cannot be sufficient guide and rule of faith because they cannot at any time be within the reach of every inquirer because they are not of themselves clear and intelligible even in the matters of the highest importance and because they do not contain all the truths necessary for salvation. Now, which do you take? What the Scripture says about itself? Well, this is saying here that you're too dumb anyway to understand it. You can't understand the Scriptures. You need a priest to tell you what the Bible says. And there's not enough knowledge in the Bible about these important things. The Church has to tell you certain things for you to understand that. So you put your faith in the Church, not in the Bible. But my faith remains in the Word of God. So here's what others are teaching. Muslims, we've talked about Muslims in the last few months, they have their own God, Allah, and He's not the same as Jehovah.
Amen.
And their own book, they reject the Bible because they say it's been corrupted, but they accept the Quran. They recognize the law of Moses, the Psalms of David, the Gospels of Jesus as holy books, but they're not consistent because they take that Jesus is the Son of God and they deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe the Bible's been corrupted and they believe Muhammad is God's final spokesman, not Jesus Christ being the final spokesman, but Muhammad. You need to watch the news. A lot of things are taking place in the world, particularly as it has to do with Islam and how it's invading America. And they are recruiting people into the Muslim faith all across America. And they are radicalizing some of these so that they want to cut the head off our policeman or cut the head off of someone else. This is a dangerous movement in America. We've never had this to fear before, but this is something really to be feared. And I'll pass over that. I could say a lot more about it, but I won't tonight. Mormons do not believe those scriptures that I've just read in your presence. They claim that their prophet, Joseph Smith, received another testament. Now, you need to read Galatians 1. In fact, let's do that. Have your Bibles. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. They're saying that Jesus gave them another testament, another gospel, and that if you'll send in your name to the Mormon church, they will deliver you another gospel. And what they'll do, they have their young men come and bring that and try to teach you the Mormon doctrine. But in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 9, here's what the inspired apostle Paul said. In verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. Amen. Now when you drive down the street and you go by a Mormon tabernacle, I want you to look up at the spire. Up on the spire, there's a figure of an angel. That angel is called Moroni. His name is Moroni. He is supposedly the angel that God sent to Joseph Smith to tell him about this other gospel. Do you hear what Paul said about it? Even if an angel, let's look at it again. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Even if an angel came down and preached something different from this book, let him be accursed, Paul said. Well, that takes care of the Mormon book to me. Mormon is not truth, but it's false. So today, Mormons claim you can go to heaven without the Book of Mormon. They will admit that. But you'll be a better Christian if you follow the Book of Mormon in addition to the Bible, because they call it another gospel. Then you've got the creed books. This morning, we looked at the beginning of councils. And the council, I'll read to you next Sunday morning, you may have already read it, the council of Nicene Creed at Nicaea in 325. I agree with the creed. I agree with what it says. But the point is, men began to write something in addition to the Bible that people have to agree with, and then the creed becomes more authoritative than the Bible itself. And so people talk about the Nicene Creed. The existence of a creed book denies the all-sufficiency of the Bible. If the creed book is the same as the Bible, why would you have it? If a creed book is more than the Bible, it's too much. If the creed book is less than the Bible, it's too little. If it's the same, you don't need it, because it confuses people. And so these creeds are the rule books. And I want you to notice that every creed book sets up a barrier to fellowship. A Baptist creed sets them apart from the Catholics. The Catholic Catechism sets everybody apart from the Methodist discipline. Every creed that is written by men is a wall that separates those people from other believers in Jesus Christ. As the 1700s began in America, people that had come from Europe came over here, and they began to recognize everybody's divided because of the creeds. And they said, why don't we just throw them all out? And that's what these men did. And they started going back to the Bible. That's where the Church of Christ in America started, of men that threw out the creeds and said, we believe the Bible alone. And that's what we're doing today. Creeds, they say, contain the juice and marrow of the Bible, but in fact, they teach something other than the Bible and give the Bible an infection in the bone and marrow. Then the modern day prophets. People say, well, I just feel that God speaks to me and I hear a voice in my ears. And they're claiming additional revelation. Now, if you've paid attention to the scriptures, the scriptures teach that there's nothing else that can be given. What voice do they hear in their head? I don't know. but it's not the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the faith has been all delivered. Jude 3. There's no more truth left to be delivered. The Bible has been confirmed by miracles. Hebrews chapter 2 says that Jesus started the miracles and they were finished by His apostles as they confirmed the word of truth. So we don't have any modern day revelations. So what must I do to be saved? If the Bible is sufficient, if I want to go to heaven, if I want my sins washed away, what must I do? Well, here are your scriptures. Believe in Jesus. We've already looked at John chapter 20. The works that Jesus did were recorded that you might believe and have life in His name. Repent of your sins, Acts 17 verse 30, because God has appointed a day of judgment. Confess the name of Christ, because Romans 10 says confession with the mouth is made unto salvation. Do what the Great Commission says in Mark 16:16, be baptized for the remission of sins. Then give your life to the Lord and be faithful the rest of your life, and heaven can be your home. If you believe, pardon me just a moment. All right. If you believe the Bible is the sufficiency for all truth, if you believe that there'll never be a need for more Scripture, why aren't you obeying what we have? Why not do what the Bible says? If it is in truth the Word of God, God sent it that we might know how to get from earth to heaven, we don't need anything else, but am I paying attention to what we have? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you repent of your sins? Are you willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Will you be baptized for the remission of sins? Will you live faithfully, because that's what the Bible tells us? Why not respond tonight? While we stand together and while we sing, we invite you to come.